All right, so at Passover, we celebrate the fact that the death angel passed over the Israelites. The Israelites have been celebrating Passover for thousands of years. When the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, God delivered them from that slavery, and he did it through the door frame of Passover. They had to put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, and when they did that, the death angel would pass over their home, and they would be safe. So Israelites, for thousands of years, have celebrated the Passover, the fact that God passed over them, and they were safe. And then they went out into the desert to go towards the Holy Land, where God had promised them the promised land. And as they were going in the desert, 50 days after they left Egypt, 50 days after Passover, this monumental thing happened when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments were given from God to the people. And so that was 50 days after Passover. They left Egypt, they're in the desert, and they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost for thousands of years because that was when the law came to them. And that was a big deal. Fast forward a long time to the days of Jesus, and Jesus meets with his disciples at what we call the Last Supper. That was at Passover. So they were celebrating in their traditional manner for the Jews, and Jesus celebrated with his 12 disciples. But he says, I have a new covenant for you now. There's going to be a new covenant. If you'll trust in me, believe in me, and the work that I'm doing for you, then you're going to be saved. And your salvation is not going to be based on your ability to follow the law yourself, but your salvation is going to be based on my ability to follow the law. That's what Jesus was telling them, which Jesus followed the law perfectly. So just a few days after that Passover, or actually a few hours after that Passover, he goes to the cross. He dies for the sins of the world. And the Lamb of God shed his blood so that all of us who apply the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, to the doorpost of our life will be passed over from hell and will have eternal life because of Jesus' blood that he shed for us. That's the celebration of the Passover of Jesus, that he died for us. He died for our sins. If you have not received that salvation in the blood of Jesus, I want to encourage you today to just say yes to him. Say yes to Jesus, because he's welcoming you with open arms today. He wants to love on you and save you from the sins. And that only comes through the blood of Jesus when we apply that to our life. And then, you know, on the third day, Jesus rises up from the dead, defeats death once and for all, and we celebrate on Easter Sunday the resurrection of Jesus, that we will be alive forever and ever. Death's not gonna contaminate us forever, but we're gonna be alive with him forever. But look at this: the awesome power of Jesus does not stop at the resurrection. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead was the Feast of Pentecost. And this first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection would welcome in a whole new era of the church. No longer would people be able or have to go throughout life on their own. Jesus was about to leave them after his resurrection, and he says, I'm not leaving you alone. I am sending you out to the world. Go make disciples of all people and baptizing them and teaching them to obey the words that I have given you. And so he gives the Great Commission, but that's not the last thing he tells them. The last thing he tells them is now go and wait in Jerusalem until you're going to be endued with power. You're going to be endued with power from on high, and when you are receiving that power from God, then you're going to be my witnesses to everybody in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth.
And so that's the way Jesus left them. Go and wait for the Spirit. So when does the Spirit fall on the people? Well, we read about it in Acts, the second chapter, but it says on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Spirit of God fell on them, and the whole room was filled with the presence of the Lord, and every single person in the room was filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit, and the evidence was that they were speaking in a language that they had never learned before. There was cloven, the Bible, the Old Testament, the King James says, cloven tongues as a fire rested upon them. So like they were fervent with this Spirit baptism that happened to them. And so this Holy Spirit came to us, the church, on the day of Pentecost. Well, today is 50 days after Passover. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is this celebration of the Holy Spirit coming to us. The Holy Spirit is not supposed to be a God, maybe a lowercase g God that kind of sits on the shelf and watches you. The Holy Spirit is not a God that just wants to be prayed to, but the Holy Spirit wants to flow through the believers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to be active and flowing. In fact, Jesus said it like this in John, the 7th chapter and the 37th verse, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," or the King James, I keep going back to King James because every time I talk about the Holy Ghost, I think of the King James version. Anyway, "out of his bellies shall flow rivers of living water." That is out of you and me. If you believe in Jesus, out of your bellies, out of your innermost being, shall flow a river of living water. That's incredible. In the Old Testament, Ezekiel saw a vision of a river. Ezekiel 47:7 talks about this amazing river that starts in the temple, and it starts very shallow, just ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep. And then this river, as it flows out of the temple, gets so deep you have to swim in it. It's amazing. And everywhere the river goes, it brings life. It's incredible. "I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, 'This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure.'" Now, if you've never been to the Dead Sea, you probably heard of the Dead Sea, but it's hard to grasp the deadness of the Dead Sea. It is so dead. It is lifeless. There's no grass. There's no trees around it. It is barren. It's the lowest part of the earth, the lowest place on the earth, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet below sea level. We went there a few years ago and swam in the Dead Sea. And before we got in, the tour guide said, "Make sure you don't submerge your head in the Dead Sea. Do not get the water in your mouth." The mud of the Dead Sea has a lot of minerals in it. It's good to like put it all over yourself. You'll feel better. It's like exfoliating your skin. It feels great. But don't drink the water. Don't get near it. Why? Because it is not healthy. It will hurt you. It's poisonous if you get it and you ingest it. So, man, we were like playing around in the Dead Sea trying not to drink it. And this amazing thing happened while I was in the Dead Sea. I felt something on my foot, and I thought, "What in the world is that?" And I reached down, and I pulled up a green piece of moss in the Dead Sea. And I said, "What in the world is going on here? There's green in the Dead Sea." And I thought, everything I've been taught about the Dead Sea, there's life here in the Dead Sea. And I literally got out of the Dead Sea and was running up to the people there, and I said, look, there's seaweed, or there's it was like a mossy kind of thing. There's a moss in the Dead Sea. They all started gathering around. They're looking at it, and they're all astonished and amazed. what in the world is going on? And they talked about it and talked about it, couldn't figure it out. And finally they said, the only way that this is possible is that under there, you happen to put your foot on one little small place where there's fresh water coming into the Dead Sea. And it is that one little plant has life from the fresh water that is coming from a spring way down below in the Dead Sea. So I want you to just think about the power of fresh water, okay? That's the whole point of this. That one, this scripture is saying that there's going to be a day that there's not just one little tiny piece of moss that's living in the Dead Sea, but the Dead Sea is going to be converted into a living, breathing, healthy body of water that is going to be vibrant with trees and plants and fish. Look at verse 9. It says, there will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. And life will flourish wherever this water flows. Now, this is talking about an end time, a day in the future that hasn't even happened yet, where all things are made new and everything is renewed back to its original state, and the power of God is going to renew this earth. But it's also speaking to people who allow themselves to be temples for the Holy Spirit to flow through them. And wherever you go, the rivers of living water will come from you, and life will be wherever you go. Not because you've got a degree, or because you've made some money, or because you look good, or because you have 10,000 followers on the internet, but because the Holy Spirit is flowing through you. In San Marcos, we don't have to look very far to see a powerful river flowing. It is amazing. We have it up on the screen. This is the San Marcos River. You probably swam right there at Rio Vista, gone down the waterfall there. So fun, so beautiful, so full of life, right? If you go to the west, you know, up into the hill country, it's beautiful up there. And right now, everything's green because we've had so much rain. But guess what? In August, it's going to be dry. And it's going to be crispy, and things are going to be brown. Most likely, unless we get rain. It's very spotty. It's very hit or miss in the hill country. A lot of times, it's got some wildflowers in the spring, but by the summer, the heat hits, the water dries up, there's no rain, it begins to dry out, and the plant life begins to die. So it's kind of hit or miss. You go east of here into the plains, and you can drive, you know, from here to Lockhart. You can see the cotton fields and the corn fields, and right now it's flourishing because all the rain. But if you drive through there in a drought, the fields are barren. They're not producing anything. But every time you go through the middle of San Marcos, it is incredibly green and lush. The trees are there. The grass is there at this park. Look at the trees. Aren't they beautiful? You can see it's see-through water. You can see bass and catfish and, you know, perch and snakes and gar and all kind of stuff in there that are flourishing because the river is always flowing. And it's fresh water and it's clean water and it's beautiful water. And the geologists, historians here say that in recorded history, they've never had a time when the San Marcos River has gone dry. And recorded history. It's always been flowing, and it's amazing. It brings life to our community. And the state of Texas recognizes that the more the population grows in Texas, the bigger the risk that this river will not be flowing forever and ever. More people are drinking it, more people are watering their grass with it, whatever, you know, filling their swimming pools with it. It's evaporating, all these things. The more people here, the more we use it, and it's endangered. So the state of Texas has gone to great lengths to put regulations on how the flow of the river is protected. And there's two basic types of protection for the San Marcos River. There's protection for the water going in to the aquifer, and then there's protection for the water coming out at the springs. And so this church right here is located on what's called a recharge zone. On the recharge zone, you can only build on 20% of your land because the state of Texas, they're very, very critical and very, very specific when we started building this church on here. And you may have driven in the property and thought, why do they have these concrete little walls in the parking lot? Why are these little grass strips in the parking lot? All of that is because the state of Texas mandated that our church do all that to protect the water going back down into the ground. Before you develop out here, they send geologists, I think is who it is, out onto the land to make sure there's no sinkholes on your property. If you have a sinkhole on your property, you can't build anything on it because that is a very special place where the water literally goes into a cave, into the aquifer to refill it. And so they want to make sure that you don't cover up too much of the land. Because if you cover up all the land, the water can't go back into the aquifer and the flow dies. This is good stuff, okay? I'm just warming up here, talking about the recharge zone. Now, when we were building the church, we got frustrated, like, oh, we want to build God's church, and we need more land, and blah, 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 all that stuff. We got mad at the state, TCEQ, and all this kind of stuff. But really, they're just trying to protect the water, and we respected it. We followed all the rules, and we actually had to buy 10 more acres of land just to build the building that we have here. So we have 20 acres now. We can cover 4 acres, and that's how we bought the hill up top. Is so that we could build this land here, this building here. So the state of Texas protects the water going in, but it also protects the water coming out. So if you go to Spring Lake, which is the lake, very small little lake where there's the glass bottom boat tours, no one can swim in there anymore. If you see pictures of old time San Marcos, you can see people laying out at the river and swimming in the river like in the 30s, 40s, 50s. They're all swimming in Spring Lake. It's a beautiful thing. There was a hotel right there on the lake. But a few years back, they said, we got to protect the flow coming out of the river. If we don't do that, it's going to stop the flow of the river. And so now you have to be certified. You have to be from Texas State or some other place to be able to get into the water, and the only reason you get in there is to do research with scuba gear, and you're counting fish and plants and making sure everything's healthy. There's a salamander that lives in the San Marcos River that doesn't live anywhere else on the planet, and they're trying to protect the salamander that lives in the San Marcos River. So many interesting things about our region, and I love it because it is a direct parallel to the flow of the river of God that he designed us to be a vessel to channel his spirit through us. And so we need to have that same sort of tenacity to protect the flow. We must protect the flow. You should write that down. You should think about that. You should tweet that, post that, whatever. We got to protect the flow. We have to protect the spiritual recharge zone. You have a spiritual recharge zone in your life, and we have to protect that. We have to be adamant about that. We could put restrictions on ourselves so that we make sure we have a sinkhole for the presence of the Lord to come flow through us. We don't want to cover that up. So you might say, well, you know, why is it up to me? Why is the flow up to me? God's God. If he wants to flow through whatever, he can do whatever. And that's true. He can. But he created the world in such a way that his spirit flows through vessels, flows through temples. That's the word that the Bible uses a lot, a temple. In the Old Testament, that temple or tabernacle was a physical location. It was a building that the presence of the Lord physically entered into, and then people could go near him when they went to the Ark of the Covenant. They could approach the presence of the Lord. If they had purified themselves and gone through a lot of process to enter into the Holy of Holies, they could get close to the Spirit of God, and they could touch him at the Ark of the Covenant. But he dwelt in a temple that was made of hands. But the New Testament is a beautiful new development in this flow of the river of God's Spirit. And in the New Testament, Acts the 7th chapter, the 48th verse says, "Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, The Spirit of God does not dwell in houses made by hands. There's another place where Paul says that you are now the temple of the Most High. Everybody do this right here, this right here. Come on, point to yourself. I am now the temple of the Lord. I am now the place where God resides. God wants to flow through me. And it matters. The presence of God doesn't just flow through any kind of temple. The presence of the Lord flows through temples that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and saved by the power of Jesus Christ. But then we actually, as human beings, play a role in our temple status, okay? I want to read Acts 7:51. It says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." I just wanted to put that up there on the screen so you could see that the writer of Acts was displaying the message of God, really, to the people and saying, you actually play a role, stiff-necked, uncircumcised heart. If you're not, first of all, if you're not trusting in Jesus for your salvation, your heart has been uncircumcised, okay? But if you're trusting in Jesus, you've been baptized into Jesus. Baptism is this powerful symbol of a circumcision of our heart. That's what Peter said. And so this is the first steps that we have in welcoming the Holy Spirit to flow in us, is receiving Jesus, asking him to forgive us, being baptized into Christ. That's the circumcision of the heart. But this stiff-neckedness, the stiff-necked, you know, we don't use that terminology in 2021, but it's this resistance. It's this closed-offness. It is people that have concreted over the openness of your heart and your mind and your actions and your habits. And so we have to, I'm just speaking to you today as pastor, as you can tell today, to make sure that you have opened up your life to receive all that God has for you, to receive the power of God's Holy Spirit in your life. People ask us often why we raise our hands in the house. Why do we raise our hands in worship? Many times people do that at Promised Land. If you're new to that, you might think, what's going on here? There's several different symbols there. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of pick me up, Dad. I need, like a little baby in the crib, pick me up. I need help. But here's another powerful thing. It's a symbol of the openness. Lord, this is a funnel, and I want you to fill me with your Spirit. God, I want to be open. Lord, I want to be open to everything that you have for me. And man, you could just sense it and feel it as we were worshiping this morning and singing, especially that last song. You could just sense the presence of God in this house. It was all around. And there was a few of us, and many of us probably, that said, oh, I don't want the Spirit just to be around me, but I want the Spirit to be in me. Come on, Holy Spirit, flow through me. It's a hard thing to wrap your head around, because when you see Hollywood and movies and ghosts and spirits and all that kind of stuff, it's always done in this kooky way or this spooky way or this weird way. And then when you see religious people talking about the Holy Ghost, they're kooky and weird and all that kind of stuff. There is an authentic, pure, beautiful, peaceful thing about the infilling of the Holy Spirit from God. There's nothing weird about it. There's nothing kooky about it. It is nothing but peaceful and love and refreshing. Just like I want you to think about on a hot day in August, and it is 105 degrees outside, and you jump off that rock right there into the San Marcos River, and so refreshing. So refreshing, right? Feels so good until you get next to the waterfall, and then you're like, you don't want to get on the waterfall. Feels so good. Get in the flow and let it go. I like that. That's good. I was talking to the staff this week about this, and Albert and Tim said, hey, what about Psalm 1? Psalm 1 is so beautiful. Parallels to this so beautifully. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, nor stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, the dirty jokes, come on, But instead, they delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. What will they be like? What will those people be like that avoid the world and the culture of the world, but instead just get in the Word of God, just dwell on the Word of God and focus on the Word of God and turn off the TV or turn off the radio or turn off Spotify or maybe change it over to some worship and just say, Lord, I want to be with you today. God, I want to meditate on what you're talking about today. Lord, whatever you're doing in San Marcos today, I want to be in on it. Whatever you're doing at Texas State, Lord, I want to be in on that today. I want to meditate, Lord, day and then at night, Lord, I want to meditate. What are those people like? They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves will never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Isn't that beautiful? I want to encourage you to just delight in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Dwell on the Word of God. Get in there and just let the Word of God breathe life into you. I want to encourage you to make Sunday morning a priority. I already talked about getting in the room. Yeah. But not don't just let it be an accident or a coincidence. Wow, I made it to church this month. All right. No. I want you to put some structure in your life to say, Sunday morning is recharge zone. Right? Sunday morning is a time when the presence of God is flowing, and man, I want to get in that Sunday morning flow. And when that worship starts hitting, I want to get in that flow. I want to sing. I want to worship. I want to pray. I want to hear the Word of God taught to me. I want to take notes. I want to meditate on that Word. I want to take that with me wherever I go. I want to connect with people throughout the week. I want to have friends. I want to have family members. I want to have small group people in my life that I can communicate with and talk to and ask questions. I want to meditate, and I want to go with the flow of people that are in the flow of God's Holy Spirit, right? I want to do what I can to get in that flow. I want to jump into that flow and let God flow through me. So we have to protect it coming in. That's the Word of God, that's the presence of God, that's the Spirit of God, that's worshiping, that's getting in the Word of God, that's praying, and it's just simple. Just say, Lord, I just talk to Him. God, I want to be baptized in You today, Lord. I want to be filled with You today. And just tell Him and talk to Him about that coming into your life. But you also need to protect what's going out as well. The protective flow going out. Make sure it's the Spirit of God going out and not something else, right? And so if something else is coming out of your life, bitterness, anger, greed, jealousy, ungodliness, you know, like if you sense you're just arguing with people, your spouse is always arguing with you, and you can't figure out what's wrong with her. It may be something in you. Come on. It may be something here. Look what Lucy said. How about Ephesians 4? Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you would be saved on the day of redemption. Okay? You've been saved. We talked about this all day. You've been saved by the power and blood of Jesus. He saved you. He saved you. He saved you. Now let's live in that salvation. Let's live in that flow. I love this other thing the Bible says. Don't return like a dog to its vomit. Verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And so if you want the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life, probably one of the best things that you can do is just start living a life of forgiveness towards other people. and start practicing that in every way that you go. And you know what's going to happen? I remember as a little kid, we'd go out to my grandparents' ranch, and they had a creek there in Central Texas up near Spicewood. And there would be a creek there. My dad would say, you know what? I remember when I was a kid, there used to be a spring right here. And it was just the side of the creek bank. He said, I remember when I was a kid, there was a spring that came out of this little side of the creek bank. And he said, let's go dig around, find it. So me and him went up with the shovel, and we started digging on the side of that creek bank. You know what happened? All of a sudden, water started flowing out of the side of the hill that had been trapped by sediment and dirt and rocks. It had just been caked on there. And as we began to free that flow up, it began to flow out of the ground and into the creek. And it was so cold and fresh. It was like, oh my goodness, this is so amazing. That's what we need to do to the pieces of our heart and our life that have been caked over by watching too much Fox News and too much CNN, and we're too wound up in Facebook and social media, entertainment, the things of this. All those things are good if you have a portion of it. Okay, almost everything on the planet is good if you have it in small portions and with temperance. But then when we start taking too much of that on, whether it's things you're eating or drinking or sexual relationships or spouses or schooling or making money or working too hard, whatever it is, you're piling that on and piling that on and getting a little bit of effort, a lot of effort, a little bit of benefit out of it. But you know what the Lord wants you to do? Just be in His flow. So you don't have to rely on the things of this earth to please you and satisfy you. So really today is more of it is an inspirational thought, but it's also challenging. And I think we need to all go do some inventory and think through and meditate on this. Lord, you know, what in my life have I done to block you out? You know, I really started doing inventory on my life, and I started seeing some things that I'm doing in my life that I'm starting to rely on besides relying on the flow of God's presence in my life. Man, we have to do that. We have to dig in deep and say, God, I want more. I want more of you, Lord. I know there's more of you. I love that song we were singing, Greater. He's greater than everything. And the deepest, most troubling things that you're going through, God's better than that. The flow of the Spirit is the answer to the problems and the struggle that you're going through. So much that there's physical healing, emotional healing, things that have happened to you in the past that you have held on to for many, many years. And so the church wants to be here for you. The church wants to help you in that. We're about to sing a song, and I want the flow to just open up right now. Okay. I want the flow to open up right now, and that's going to happen. But I want to make sure you know that this church, Promise Inn, is here for you to help you get in that flow. There's a connection card on the seat back in front of you. If you're online right now, we'll put a link up there. Between the time now and the time you leave, if you're here, you want somebody in your life to help you with this conversation that we're having today, please fill out that connect card. Let us know so we can reach out to you this week and connect with you and pray with you. Would you stand to your feet right now? I want us to pray right now. And we're going to start with this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I give my life to you right now. Come on, let's pray this together. Let's pray a prayer of surrender. Let's pray a prayer of forgiveness, a prayer of just openness. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I believe and trust in the work you've done for me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood. I am saved by you, Jesus. I receive that today. Come on. Even if you're saying this for the very first time in your entire life, I receive you and your salvation, Jesus. I apply it to my life. I let go, Lord. I let go and I open myself to you. Lord, I trust in you. I believe in you. And God, right now, I am making myself available for the powerful flow of your Holy Spirit to move through me. God, I pray. Come on, be with us, Jesus, right now.
Come on, continue just to praise. Continue to worship. Continue to pray right now. The Father's moving. We can sing it one last time as a family and declare our Father this morning. Can we do that, church? So worthy. Yes, God. Come on, sing it out, Spirit. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. One last time, all saints, Spirit of God. Come on, sing it out. We need your presence.
Oh, so good. We are going to dismiss right now. And I want to, I don't want to close this. I don't want to end this. I want you to just take this with you wherever you go this week. And let the river flow. Let the river flow through you wherever you go. In Jesus' name, be blessed. You are dismissed. We love you so much. Thank you for everybody online today. God bless you as well. We can't wait to see you face to face. God bless you. We'll see you next week.